It's another fan episode right here on Locked On Spurs.
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia. I am a Spurs writer for Ken's 5 out in San Antonio. Glad to have you back. Listen, I know I get it. Y'all can probably make fun of me. Because didn't you just say last week, Jeff, that that's it? Lowe's is going to be on hiatus-ish starting this week. But here we are. Yeah, can't get away from it. But no, all kidding aside, this is probably just the first of, what, 2 to 3 maybe this week, depending on the Spurs news. But what are we talking about today? Well, as you heard earlier, we're having a fan episode. In the last episode of Locked On Spurs, we discussed the state of the Spurs as it stands right now with the current roster and pros, the cons. But we haven't really heard from the fan base in a while on that topic. We're going to be diving into that, some news and notes, and discussing the passing of Bill Russell. And yes, there is a tie to the silver and black, who is repping the fan base. He's back. Sometimes I don't think this guy even needs an introduction. He's like Cher. You just say Cher, and everybody knows who she was. Selena, you just know who that was. Right, so I'm going to try it out here. Danny. Dad, did it work, Danny?
So whenever people hear that, there's either a major, major eye roll or people are turning the volume up. So let's see which one it is.
Hopefully they're turning it up. He is Danny Sanders right here on Locked On Spurs. He's a frequent fan guest on these type of episodes. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at DannySanders80. How you doing?
You know, I'm doing good. And it's funny you talk about how last week you were talking about going in a hiatus. I mean, everyone knows you as Jeff. The grind never stops Garcia. So let's stop with that. I mean, we're not going on a no hiatus here, but no, I'm good. I've had a good last couple of days. Today's been very, very chill. I am very, very relaxed. This is a good day to get me.
Yeah. But why don't we go in and dive into it? Let's just get kind of some sad news out of the way first here.
Yeah.
Everybody's probably heard about this over the weekend. Yesterday, Sunday, the NBA, a lot of outlets reported that the Basketball Hall of Famer, multiple NBA title winner, you name it, he's probably done it when it comes to the NBA basketball stage. Bill Russell, the longtime Celtics player and for a while a coach, passed away at 88 years old. Our thoughts go out to his family, the NBA community. And you're probably thinking like, sure, that's sad news, but how does this relate to the Spurs? Well, it actually does. Back in 2009, Tim Duncan, fresh off, his fourth title. Didn't win 2008, but 2007. But the point is that the NBA had just announced that they're going to name the NBA Finals MVP award after Bill Russell. And Russell interviewed Duncan, because Duncan was the first player to win the award under Bill Russell's name. And they're just hamming it up, chatting about it, some candid moments between them. But the biggest takeaway from that is Russell revealed that Tim Duncan was his favorite player. So sad news, Danny, but talk about some high praise from the late, great Bill Russell.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember watching that interview. And I mean, let's just kind of talk about Bill Russell for a little bit, for a few moments. I mean, he is one of those iconic NBA players where whatever you talk about basketball, whenever you talk about the NBA, you can't talk about it without talking about Bill Russell. In fact, one of the great interviews was after the Celtics won, I think, their championship in 77 or 78, one of those two. Mm-hmm. And he was being interviewed in the locker room afterwards. And the interviewer asks him how he's feeling, and he starts to answer, and then he just breaks down and he gets really emotional. Wow. And that was, it actually makes me emotional every time I watch it, because there's just so much that he invested his life and his just his life, all of his efforts into the game of basketball. And whenever you actually take a deep dive into some of the things that he had to endure, even in Boston, even as a Celtic. There were a lot of racial comments and racial acts that were made out against him because he was a black man living in Boston, playing in the NBA. And what I think really astonishes me is that even throughout all that, he was one of those NBA icons and players that throughout the generations that came after him, he kept up with them. And I think he's been one of the probably handful of NBA players that really kept up with this new generation of player. In fact, I think I remember hearing a podcast where, I mean, we all know Celtic pride. We all know, I mean, just how prideful the Celtics are and how proud they are of their history and their legacy. And we know the rivalries that have been there against the Lakers, against the Sixers, against the Pistons, against the Hawks. I mean, just throughout every generation, there's been certain rivalries. And I think there was one one series, especially, I think it was after the Celtics had just ousted the Pistons from the Eastern Conference Finals. And Isaiah Thomas, I mean, he was pretty wrecked about it. And I think it was that 1 year whenever the Celtics just kind of walked off. I'm sorry, the Pistons kind of walked off. But anyway, I think a day or two later, Bill Russell ended up calling Isaiah Thomas and kind of encouraging him. And I think that's probably been the story of several NBA players since then, because yeah, I mean, he's just kind of been one of those guys where he's kept up with players. So it was really cool to see as a Spurs fan and obviously as a Tim Duncan fan to see whenever that interview, they aired it back, 12, 13 years ago. Him say that Tim Duncan was his favorite player. And I hope that wasn't just a passing comment. I really hope it was true. And I think, didn't he even say something along the lines about how he wanted Tim to be at his funeral?
So yes. Then, yeah.
That's definitely something that I hope to see. And I know Tim, he definitely likes to stay out of the spotlight, doesn't like to really be included in too much, but if I'm guessing that if he's invited, he's gonna attend that funeral.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And you know, again, our thoughts go out to him and his family, Russell's family. But you in that same interview, Russell predicted that Duncan wasn't done winning titles, and sure enough, Duncan won one more in 2014, and that was two now MVP awards that Duncan have, I believe, because no, I'm sorry, just the one, because Kawhi won it in 2014. When it was renamed the Bill Russell Award. So, but yeah, I mean, Russell predicted that it happened. Duncan even said it to you, because I'm going to try to get one, try to get another one. And sure enough, it happened. But you look at the similarities between Duncan and Russell, and you know, it's close. Athletically, maybe Russell has that edge there, but defensively, both were just giants in that paint, protecting the rim. Both were team leaders. Both were not flashy. Both didn't want that spotlight. Both was about winning titles. That said, as a matter of fact, I think even Russell even said in talking with to Duncan back in 2009, saying, "You go out there, you play games, you win, and you win championships." That's basically what Russell did.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And he was the best at it. I mean, I still remember that iconic Sports Illustrated cover where it had Bill Russell. His aging face with the gray hair, and he has both of his hands out and like all of his rings in his hands. I mean, these big, huge mitts of hands, and his rings are all showing and glistening in the underneath the camera. So, and another cool story I remember hearing about him, and just to kind of analogize the careers between Bill Russell and Tim Duncan, because we all know Tim. I mean, Tim was one of those players, I think it's even been talked about by other NBA players, he never really talked trash. Like, he was not a real big trash talker. In fact, kind of the opposite. I mean, players have even said that during the game, they kind of would get psyched out a little bit because Tim would kind of make a comment like, "Oh, good try," or "nice shot," or, I mean, kind of give him tips during the game. And they weren't really sure if he was clowning on him or not. And Bill Russell kind of had that same edge to him, because I remember hearing a couple of stories about Bill Russell, and of course the big rival in his day was Wilt Chamberlain. And they couldn't be a more stark contrast as far as to Russell was the blue collar kind of take your lunch pail to work every day guy. Wilt Chamberlain was the glitz and the glamour, and I mean he wanted, I mean all the fame, and I mean we know about the records he's held both on mm-hmm. and off the court, might add. it wasn't that well known that they were actually really good friends, and whenever they would play one another, Bill Russell would stay at Wilt Chamberlain's house, and they'd have dinner, and they'd even cook dinner for each other, and it was one of those times whenever that happened, and I forget when exactly it happened, but it was one of those. I think I want to say it was in the finals sometime, either in the finals or in the playoffs, and Bill Russell actually went. I mean, he dominated. He dominated, and not so much in points. Like, I mean, Russell was never the elite scorer. He could dominate the game just by defensively grabbing boards, being a facilitator, and he dominated that game. And Chamberlain had an awful game. And I think the next game, and this is why I think it was a playoff series. The next game, the very next game, I think I want to say either Chamberlain didn't play or didn't show up. I mean, something happened to where there kind of began like a little bit of a feud there for a long time. They didn't talk. And it was one of those things where it was never really known whether Russell kind of did that more like just to kind of gain an edge, like to say like, hey, I mean, I'm going to make this person as comfortable as possible around me. I mean, we're going to go and we're going to have dinner and I'll let him stay at my house and I'll make him think we're chummy and friendly, but really on the court, I'm going to chop his head off kind of thing. But he was an ultimate competitor, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. And Tim was the same thing. I mean, Tim ultimately... Right. Even though he wasn't that brash, mouthy player like Kevin Garnett, he was the ultimate competitor also. He never wanted to lose. He always wanted to get on top. And I know, I mean, some fans, especially now, especially those fans that really only got to see him those last 5 or 6 or 7 years, they don't really know that part of Tim. But, yeah, I mean, he was the ultimate competitor and also the ultimate teammate. And that's also something that was – that's been described by Bill Russell's teammates also, is that he was just the ultimate teammate. So lots of comparisons, lots of things to talk about between the two. Yeah,
absolutely.
It is a great day to see that ambassador of the NBA in the game of basketball. So,
yep. Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, rest in peace, Mr. Bill Russell. You will be missed throughout the entire basketball world. And again, our thoughts to him and his family. When we get back, we're going to shift gears and get the fan pulse when it comes to the state of the Spurs as the current roster stands. And of course, some of the movement that has been made, especially with Chip Englund. We'll be discussing that and a lot more. And thanks for making Lockdown Spurs your first listen each and every day. Free and available wherever you get podcasts. I want to talk to you about Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, look, you're depriving yourself. Go get one of life's greatest joys. Guess what? They got a new flavor. Yes, already. They're always coming out with new flavors. They got another one. This one is the delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to the new favorite, cookie dough chunk puffs. They have a light, chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks. And of course, they're covered in 100% chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it, and it's healthy for you. You heard that correctly. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories and have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Go to built.com right now. Get yourself a box for you and the family. The perfect treat. If I were you, I put it in a good hiding spot and just hoard them for yourself. They're that good. Like all Built Bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% chocolate. That means they're healthy and tasty chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. So good. Go to built.com right now. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. Ditch the calories, fat, and sugar. Grab yourself a Built Bar. Built.com, promo code LOCK15. That gets you 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15. We're back with Danny Sanders right here on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs. And we're going to get into it right now and talk about the state of the Spurs from a fan's point of view. Danny, there's been plenty of changes since the season ended. From Chip Englund parting ways with the longtime team, the Spurs, to Oklahoma City, to player movement, to DeJounte Murray's traded, Lonnie Walker is now a Laker. the list goes on and on. Kelvin Johnson got re-signed to an extension. Still remains to be seen what's going to happen with some of the other tradable assets, from Poeltl to Richardson to McDermott. The point is, this Spurs team has been making changes. As of right now, as of this recording, what are your thoughts on the current state of the Spurs, and what are the general fan thoughts when it comes to the Spurs right now?
Well, I'll start with the fan thoughts only because, I mean, whenever you're talking about my thoughts and the fan thoughts, I mean, it's essentially about two and one. I mean, as the definitive voice of the Spurs fan, it's been a weird week. It's been a weird off season. It's been one of those seasons, off seasons, where I think once DeJounte was traded, actually even before then, once we had the draft and once we saw who they drafted, once we saw who they went with, we kind of started to maybe kind of see, hey, I mean, this is going to be a full-blown youth movement. It's funny because I remember several people not really believing that we're going to keep all three draft picks. I was not one of them. I kind of felt like we were, only because we're going to need that youth. We're going to need that infusion of youth and ultimately just cheap contracts at this point. But whenever we traded DeJounte, obviously that was really the big death knell, I guess, really, of what the Spurs were a couple years, to where people really started to take it seriously as far as saying, hey, I mean, we're really going to be going down the path of a full-blown rebuild. And I mean, not a rebuild in the definition that we've seen the last couple of years, where it's like, I mean, we're going to kind of see where this goes, but ultimately we still want to maybe try to make the playoffs. No, I mean, this is not going to be a playoff team for at least a couple of years, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 years. We're not going to be a playoff team. I don't think we are, unless something drastic happens. But then we see this week, right, with Chip Englund. And I think a lot of people thought I overreacted. I thought I reacted well within what the expectation levels are, only because you think of it like this, right? And you actually made a really good point. I think you made an episode with Pledger a day or two after. And you brought up, like, hey, I mean, is this kind of signaling that this is going to be Pop's last year? And I think you're right. I'm agreeing with you on that, because I think we've seen, in the span of the last year, we've seen Becky leave. We've seen Will Hardy leave. Yep. We've seen now Chip Englund leave. We've seen Brett Brown come back, which, I mean, he's an old familiar face. But we've seen certain departures that of staff members that have been with us for a long time, and especially in regards to Chip Englund, because we're talking about a guy who's been here for 17 years, and I don't know how many people realize who Chip Englund was or is, and in addition to being a shot doctor. I mean, he's very well regarded and very well known within the basketball community. He dated Jeannie Buss for a little bit. I mean, I didn't even know that. Yeah. So, I mean, this is not a guy that he's just a small potatoes. I mean, very well regarded, very, very well esteemed. And he was here. For 17 years, he was here. He chose to be here. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we nabbed him from Denver way back in the day. But he stayed here, and he helped Tony. He helped Kawhi. He helped Tim a little bit with his free throw shooting. If we all remember, Tim was a horrid free throw shooter.
He was.
Early in his career. He helped multiple Spurs players. He helped Danny Green, and of course, as of late, he helped Keldon Johnson with his 3-point shot. And more than that, and I was on a podcast last week talking about this, more than that, for the people that would go early to the games and kind of see the Spurs warm up, he would be out there. He was always consistently out there with the players. Yeah, sure, giving tips, helping with his shot, but more than that, talking to them, feeling them out, telling stories, meeting with the rest of the staff, meeting with the staff of the opposite team, of the opposing team that night. And it's that kind of figure, and it's that kind of presence that I think is going to really be missed. I think we even heard Keldon talk about it this past week whenever news did break that he was leaving. That, I mean, he was invaluable as far as just the knowledge and experience that he was able to pass down to him. And that's kind of what I think got to me most, because his leaving does signal, I think, that things are going to be changing. And I'm all for change. I mean, I've been asking for change from this organization for years. But he was the one person I didn't want to have change, because, hey, if we're going into a rebuild and if we're going into a time whenever we're going to be almost exclusively young guys, players between the ages of 19 to 22 or 23 that need to be developed, who better than Chip England, right? I mean, he's the master at that, alleged master at just being able to help people with their shot. And I think I even remember stories back whenever he helped Steve Kerr. Steve would talk about it, to where some of it was about mechanics. But I think whenever he did actually start off talking to a player, it was more just about life and trying to analogize the game of basketball to life and life's lessons. And that's where I think he really made that connection. And that's what I really would have wanted for youth Spurs.
Yeah, and seeing Chip depart, you know, that was a blow, as you mentioned, because of the young Spurs, you know, that they need as much guidance as they can, because I repeat this on Locked On Spurs, that the Spurs are practically trotting out a college team next season. They practically are. Yeah. But then you start thinking, like, what if it just simply came down to, like, you know, I think the report now is it just came down to a contract. You know, they couldn't agree on a contract. What if the Spurs just really didn't feel like he was doing his job well enough? What if it was just simply that, like, you ain't doing the job well? And I started thinking about that. Yeah.
That was the most confusing aspect to me, because, I mean, Woj was the one that reported it, and Woj is well connected. Mm-hmm. I think we've learned by now, or we should have learned by now, that if Woj is reporting something because of his relationship with this organization specifically, he's not going to put out a detail just for the hell of it. I mean, there's a reason behind the way he's putting a report, and it was very specific. I mean, the reason for his departure is the two sides couldn't agree to a contract. Tells me what? One of a couple of things. It's either money, which, I mean, he had put in his report that he was already one of the highest paid assistant coaches in the league. So I don't want to believe that the Spurs were just wanting to be cheap at this point after so many years of making him the highest paid. So, I mean, possibly it could have been length of time. Either the Spurs wanted to, like, a shorter length of time and he wanted longer, or vice versa. We don't know. But that's what I think disappointed me the most, was if it was a contract issue and he's been here for this long, and the Spurs are who they say they are, as far as saying, hey, I mean, we're family, we're going to keep it in the family, or, all these messages that they want to convey.
Right.
And then somebody like that, of that stature, leave for an issue like that, whether it be money or time or whatever, make it right. I mean, just give him whatever he's asking for, and let's keep it moving. And that's what I think was the most concerning part to me. And that's what I think really hit, what I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, as far as, like, hey, I mean, sure, it could be a report about a contract dispute, but at the end of the day, you and I both know, if it's a contract dispute and if Pop wants that person either to stay or leave,
it's going to happen. Yeah.
It's going to happen. So maybe he's already signaling to his staff and to certain members of the organization, hey, this is going to be my last hurrah. Maybe if you have an opportunity, take advantage of it now. And I mean, to see, and I think also that's what kind of really agitated me as far as the move, because it's not like he went to a big cosmopolitan city like New York or San Francisco or Chicago. He went to Oklahoma City. It's at best a lateral move. I mean, and some people would argue it's a downgrade. He went to Oklahoma City where, sure, I mean, he might have a relationship with Sam Presti, but that boggled my mind. And I think maybe professionally it might be a challenge for him, because he's seen guys like Giddey and, of course, Chet Holmgren and Lou Dort and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and all these younger guys over there that probably need some assistance, need some help. So maybe it's a challenge for him, but at the same end, it's like leaving 17 years of this to go to Oklahoma City. It just, yeah, it was really confusing, really disappointing. It's something that I hope that we get some kind of clarity at some point, which I doubt we will, just because the Spurs.
That is not going to happen at all. You know, the Spurs say, okay, so here's the real reason why Chip left. You know, that ain't going to happen. But hey, we're not done talking. We're definitely going to be right back, wrapping up this discussion on the fan point of view of the state of the Spurs. And we got some time. We go over some Spurs news and notes. I think Danny will stick around as we go over some news. So yeah. Yeah. So we'll be right back. We're back with Danny Sanders right here on Locked On Spurs, or should I say this fan episode of Locked On Spurs, and we're going to start wrapping up our discussion here on the current state of the Spurs. So you had a lot to say in the last segment, from Chip to coaches leaving to player movement. What would be the Danny Sanders overall grade so far at this moment of the state of the Spurs? Is it a total fail, F, or maybe it's an A because, you know, tank for Wemby? You know, where do you land and where do the Spurs fan base land?
I'm all for tanking at this point. We need a superstar. We need superstar talent. I wanted to tank last year. I didn't like the whole, like, hey, let's play for the plan, because I think we lost opportunity. And you know what? Let me kind of just settle this debate right now, because I see it all the time amongst fans that can never agree. Does tanking – okay, this is kind of a multi-issue conversation here. Is tanking going to guarantee us Wemby? No, it's not. And I've seen the figures thrown out. Oh, we have a 14% chance, right? Mm-hmm. So 14% chance. Why are you going to waste an entire season, waste these guys' years, best years, or younger years, or development years, for tanking for something we may not even get? You know what? Here's the thing. We know the Spurs, as they were constructed the last couple of years, we know that team. We know how far they're going to go. And miss me with this whole, like, well, they could develop over the summer and players can continue to grow and get better, and that could equal us jumping from the 10th spot to the 6th spot. No, that was not going to happen. If the Spurs had gone into next year and stayed the same, stayed the course, kept DeJounte, kept Jacques, kept all their guys, right, and not traded anybody, drafted some young guys and did the whole Spurs thing and sent those young guys to Austin for 2 or 3 months and let the core group kind of play it out, we already know what's going to happen. We're going to maybe surprise some folks in the very beginning, but eventually keel off, and by game 78, 79, and 80, we're going to be fighting for that 10th spot. Maybe that 9th spot. Maybe, right? It's going to be the play-in. It's going to be the play-in for us. And again, it goes back to superstar talent, not having that superstar that we need, and probably more than likely failing to make the playoffs again for the third year in the play-in, all right? That's the Spurs that we knew. We know that team already. We know their ceiling. Sure, we may not get Wemby. We may have a 14% chance. But you know what? At the end of the day, give me the opportunity to be able to get somebody who is potentially a game changer, a franchise changer, that's going to be a building block, not only for the next 2, 3, 5, 7 years, maybe the next 10 years, maybe the next 15 years, maybe somebody like, I'm not going to compare anybody to Tim, but somebody like that, that's going to say, you know what, this is my team, this is my city, I'm going to take claim of this now, and I'm going to stay here and plant my flag here. Maybe we get somebody like that, and maybe we actually start to grow and actually have people want to come and play here and start to actually build a contender again. Give me that over 10th and 9th seeds year after year after year after year. Okay.
What would you grade it though? I mean, I hear you talking about tanking, and I get your point. Yeah, I'm with you. Team needs a stud. You know, it needs a stud. Maybe Kelden will turn into that. Maybe Devin. We don't know. You know, there's too many we don't knows. Yeah.
The actual grade so far is a D. Even though I've liked the aggressiveness as far as some of the things we've done in terms of trading DeJounte, who was never going to lead us where we wanted to have them to be led, it's still lacking. We still see Jakob on the board. Mm-hmm. The extension kind of confused me a little bit. The timing of it and just extending him, I don't know, because he was actually one of the ones, Kelden was actually one of the ones that I had projected possibly and I think you and I even talked about it last fall, not really sticking around. And maybe the way that the contract's constructed, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he does get traded in 2 or 3 years. I don't know. But there's still pieces on the board that I think need to get traded. Jakob, Josh McDermott, possibly Josh Richardson. I'm not Josh McDermott. Doug McDermott, possibly. Josh Richardson. So there's still those pieces there that I think that we need to part with. That way that we can really get on this tank train. So yeah, for me, it's a D, not because we haven't made moves to get the team better, but rather we haven't made the complete moves to actually signal, hey, there's going to be a full tank.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's still those pieces there that I think
there's definitely plenty of time for that to happen at the rate that Brian Wright is going. So, and you know, the NBA offseason or the doldrums of it is here. So who knows, maybe a little spice in these next few days. I think the fan base is too split right now when it comes to,
oh, we're always split. That's the thing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's always those two factions out there, the factions where it's like, hey, I mean, the sky is falling, we're never going to be good again. And then the other faction of, hey, you're putting too much emotion into it, stop getting so emotional. But you know what the thing about it is, and I think this is what really frustrates me the most, we're fans of a team, right? Ultimately, none of us have any control or any say over what this team does, but we still root for them. There's still a passionate aspect of it to where we invest our heart and our emotions and our thoughts and a lot of times our resources into rooting for this organization that, I mean, for some of us, we've been rooting them for them for over 40 years. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I mean, the way that I think people read a lot of tweets, especially mine, because I actually got into it with a fan this past week.
You're shocking.
I know, right? So shocker. Somebody was accusing me of being bothered, and I was like, hey, like, a lot of times, I mean, 98% of the times that I'm posting on there, it's to stir stuff up. It's to see what sticks and see what generates some conversation. I'm not bothered by anything the Spurs do. I mean, that time for me has kind of gone away because the players I grew up with, they've all gone away and they've retired now. Had something happened maybe back in the day whenever we traded Manu or Tony, yeah, sure, I probably would have been ticked off. I'm not bothered by anything that they do now. It's more like, hey, I mean, I just want to start a conversation and see if I can stir the pot a little bit. But I think people read too much into these tweets and read too much into how people post. But at the end of the day, we're all fans. We're all fans of a team that ultimately we have no control over, no control on what they do or how they do it. So yeah, I mean, fans never agree on that, and that's one of the frustrating but also both the exciting aspects of just being a fan is we all have different perspectives on how this team should be operated or how it should be running. But ultimately, I think it's good to question, because these fans that also say, like, well, I mean, why are you even questioning? I mean, they know so much more than we do. You know what? They do to an extent because they're there every day and they know the ins and outs of what's going on, but you can still question them. It's like, I mean, I think you still question the American government, even though, I mean, they've been in operation for what, since 1776. You still question them. You still question the people that are in power. It's healthy to question. So don't be afraid to question.
And that is Danny Sanders on his fan soapbox right there, everybody. But hey, you know, we would definitely want to hear from you. Let Danny know what your thoughts on his takes on this fan episode at Danny Sanders 80. And let me know on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Quickly see some Spurs news and notes, some stuff you may have missed. The first one is free school supplies. Spurs Devin Vassell will be taking part in a back to school drive for San Antonio children. And he's also, you know, pretty much helping out with free haircuts for the kids. So go to kinsfi.com/Spurs to see all the details of when that event is happening. Backpacks, supplies, free haircuts, family, moms, dads, brothers, sisters. There you go. Go get some of the free stuff there. And other Spurs news, the Spurs rookie, Blake Wesley, went on the Jim Rome show. And he said the usual stuff, Danny, you know, like, oh, you know, excited to go to the Spurs. Yeah, I was picked. you know, first round, yay, we're all happy. But when it came to where he was picked, he says that, quote, I feel I should have been picked higher. Agree or disagree?
No, I think he was picked at where he belonged. And I actually heard that interview also live. Shout out to Edmund Ortiz for posting that he was going to be on there. But I watched it, and it's funny because he sounded like a kid. I mean, he was 19, right? Or he is 19. Yeah, and he sounded a little bit nervous, like, hey, this is my first interview or my whatever by this point, right? And you could tell he was a little bit leery, a little bit like, hey, I don't know what to say here. But yeah, ultimately that confidence did come through where he was talking about how he felt like he should have been drafted higher. I think that he was drafted right at the spot where he probably should have been. But I like the confidence. I like that he thinks that. I like that it seems like he plays and he kind of talks like he has this chip on his shoulder. And that's what we want. We want those players with chips on their shoulder. We want those players that think that they got jilted or think that they got overlooked, because it's going to put a spark and put some fire under us. So I like it. I enjoyed it. It was a good conversation they had. And I was actually surprised that he was on the Jim Rome show so soon. I mean, they haven't even played a game yet in the regular season, so that was cool to see him on there.
Absolutely. In other Spurs news, here's your chance to meet the man who made the Memorial Day miracle shot. Sean Elliott will appear at the Superhero Car Show 2022 in August. That event should sound familiar because Tony Parker has done that event as well. It's coming up soon. I believe it's the first week of August. So, and it gets even better, Danny. He's doing everything for free. You know, some celebrities go to these events are like, oh, it's $100 for an autograph or $200 for a photo. No, everything with Sean is going to be free. You want a photo? Free. You want an autograph? Free. You want to chat with him? Free. So way to go, Sean, doing that for the fans out in San Antonio.
I love that for him. Sean's always been my guy. I remember even back whenever I was growing up in high school, middle school, he was my favorite player. He was the only Spurs jersey I had ever had up until Tim. And yeah, I mean, he was my absolute favorite player. I think for internet sleuths out there that could probably find it, I once posted a picture of myself back whenever I was in the eighth grade with full metal mouth and my Sean Elliott jersey on that I just got for my birthday. I think I had actually posted it to where Bill and Sean had actually captured it on the telecast. So yeah, that was always fun times. Always love Sean. He's always a lifelong Spur. That's really cool. He's chosen to stay here even post play and retirement, to where he's one of the true good guys. Really like that.
Absolutely. For the information on when Sean will be there at the Superhero Car Show, go to Ken's5.com and subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcasts: Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. You're now on YouTube and the Ken's 5 YouTube page and the Ken's 5 Plus app. No excuse for you to not check out Locked On Spurs. And we thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. And for your second listen, check out Locked On NBA. 30 minutes of NBA news that you need in just one podcast. Probably not much to say right now, Danny. Anyway, I think the whole NBA is asleep right now. First time there's been a real offseason in, what, 2-3 years? So, yeah, I forgot how slow it gets around this time.
Definitely the dog days of summer as far as just, I mean, general summer and also NBA business. I know, I mean, living around here, I'm just ready for it to cool down already, because I don't know if you heard, we broke the record this year for most 100-day, most days in the hundreds. I think it's like 22 or 23 now, maybe even a little higher.
We're number one?
Yeah.
We're number one, I guess. I guess we'll take it. Hey, Danny, tell everybody once again how they can chat with you on social media.
At DannySanders80, I'm always looking for a good conversation. Really want to start hitting some good music out there. I've really been trying to find some new good music.
Can I suggest something to you then? Because I stumbled across this. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe it's new to me, but not new to you. It's a little group. I say little, because everybody to me is young.
You better not say
kids.
BTS, Jeff. Better not say BTS.
No, I'm not going to say that. check out this. They're like a throwback to maybe early 90s-ish with a little sprinkle of 80s. Check out Magdalena Bay.
Ooh, I've not heard of that. Magdalena Bay.
Magdalena Bay. It's a I guess a couple, a boyfriend girlfriend duo. You look at her and you're like, what is she like? 15, 18? But no, she's a grown adult. She's very, you know, the guy, you know, he's just kind of in the background playing instruments and all this stuff. But if you like kind of early 90s, late 80s, their videos are definitely 90s. Bad CGI, but I think that's what they're going for. You know, they're intentionally doing that. There has a few ones that are going to make you kind of bop your head up and down. I suggest Hysterical Us. It's kind of a fun little happy song, although I think they're singing about aliens. You'll definitely get it when you see the video.
I'm definitely a big fan of the 90s and late 80s, so it's definitely my vibe, so I'll hit that up. You know, very rare for you to actually turn me on to music, so yeah, I'm definitely gonna check that out now.
Well, I don't know, you might come back the next episode and say, Jeff, that was a waste of my time. I hated that group. Kill Shot is a good song they have, and then Ghost is a really good song. And Ghost. So check it out, yeah. And I, you know, it's one of those things where you know, YouTube suggestions, because I was listening to a lot of some mid-90s, early 90s music recently, and YouTube said, oh, if you like this, you might like this band. And sure enough, I was like, oh, they're not bad. They're not bad at all. So there's my suggestion to Danny Sanders. And yeah, we thank you for making Lockdown Spurs your first listen again each and every day. Yes, we're going to be on a hiatus. So there probably won't be a, you know, barring any news, I just jinxed myself right now, Danny. Barring any breaking news, you know, it'll be a couple days before the next episode of Lockdown Spurs. Danny, thank you for hopping on Lockdown Spurs. We always appreciate it. But for Danny Sanders, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock in this episode of Lockdown Spurs.